Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. In today's episode, I want to talk to you about what's going on in Lebanon.
The currency has collapsed. Unemployment is rising. State services are almost non-existent.
Every day, people queue for hours, desperate to secure some of the little fuel that's left. As it runs out, tempers flare.
The country is heading to hell. We are so tired. I had to leave my house because there is no electricity and water. I have no money. Everyone's asking for dollars, but I don't have dollars. Have mercy on us.
Where can we go now? They should come and take us now. They should kill us and throw us in the ocean because we can't handle it anymore.
There is little holding the country together, and Lebanon's stability is at risk.
The official rate of inflation in Lebanon has now hit 264%, making it the single highest rate in the whole of the world. So in today's video, I want to go through exactly what is going on, how Lebanon got itself to this situation. We'll have a look in detail at what's happening with inflation. We'll look at what the Lebanese central bank has been doing with interest rates. We'll have a look at what's happening with the currency, because the currency has crashed like no other currency has before. It's just had a devaluation that has wiped out virtually all of the value. We'll talk about the high level of dollarization that Lebanon has experienced and what the implications of that are for the country. And then we'll go on to talk about the situation with the IMF, because the IMF actually agreed a bailout deal for Lebanon in 2022. However, it still hasn't released those funds, and the IMF wants to impose certain restrictions against the country, which potentially could be making the situation worse. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary. So what I think is likely to happen in Lebanon over the course of the next 3 to 6 months. Now, before we get into all of that detail, I just wanted to remind you that the first Joe Blogs live stream event is taking place on Wednesday, the 3rd of May. And this will be an opportunity to see me in the Joe Blogs studio talking about the current events that are going on in the world right now and also discussing any topics that anybody wants to raise. So if you're interested in joining that event, which is for patrons and YouTube members, please have a look in the links below. Lebanon is a country located in the Middle East on the shores of the Mediterranean Sea and consists of a narrow strip of territory which is one of the world's smallest sovereign states. Lebanon was the site of some of the oldest human settlements in the world. However, it wasn't until 1920 that the current state of Lebanon came into being. Between 1920 and the date of official independence in 1946, the country was administered by France under a League of Nations mandate. In the 1950s and 60s, Lebanon built its position as the Switzerland of the Middle East, a banking tax haven attracting the ultra-wealthy. And alongside its financial strength, it also developed its services and tourism business and was renowned for its abundance of natural scenery, seaside and mountain resorts, and its nightlife. As far back as the 7th century, Lebanon served as a refuge for persecuted Christian and Muslim groups. And as a result of this, it had a diverse ethnic mix. In 1975, a bitter civil war started in the country when the Palestinian Liberation Organization was forced out of Jordan and decided to focus its attention on Lebanon. At that time, the population of Lebanon was split roughly 50-50 Christian and Muslim, and Lebanon's two land border nations, Syria and Israel, both stepped in to support the Christian community against the PLO. The civil war lasted for 15 years between 1975 and 1990, and as well as causing billions of dollars worth of damage, also damaged the Lebanon economy. In the 20 years following the end of the civil war, Lebanon started to rebuild itself. However, another body blow for the country was dealt in 2011 when a civil war started in Syria. Lebanon shares the majority of its land borders with Syria, and its economy was closely linked to the success of the Syrian economy. Over the course of the last 12 years, things have started to get worse for Lebanon, and a sequence of political mismanagement, profligate spending, and corruption took the Lebanese economy to the brink of disaster. In 2019, there were widespread protests all across Lebanon against the political rulers, and in March 2020, the country officially defaulted on all of its debt obligations. Whilst the country was still reeling from all of these problems, in August 2020, a huge explosion took place in the port of Beirut. This explosion was caused by a large amount of ammonium nitrate, which is traditionally used as fertilizer, which had been seized from a number of ships and had been held in the port for a number of years. This highly dangerous material was not stored under the right conditions and resulted in a massive explosion. The amount of ammonium nitrate involved was the equivalent of over 1,000 tons of TNT, and when this exploded, it caused damage to property more than 6 miles from the zone and literally shook the whole country of Lebanon. This chart shows the movement in the rate of inflation in Lebanon over the course of the last 12 months. And as you can see, in March 2023, the official rate of inflation is 264%, which means that over the course of the last 12 months, prices on average have risen 2.6 times. And to put that into perspective, this chart shows the countries with the highest rates of inflation in the world. And you can see that Lebanon is by far and away number one. 264% is more than 100% higher than the next highest rate, which is 156% in Venezuela. And Venezuela, if you've been following the channel, has been having a major economic crisis for the last few years since it received all of the sanctions against it as a result of the current regime. Syria, which is Lebanon's closest neighbour and is a war-torn economy, has an inflation rate of 139%, and the only other country in the world with an inflation rate above 100% is Argentina, which has come in at 104%. And if you want to know more about Argentina, please check out the recent videos that I've posted. So as you can see from this list, the rate of inflation in Lebanon is completely out of kilter with anywhere else in the world, and actually makes some of the other countries that we've been following and talking about potential economic collapse look quite good. So 264% makes Turkey's 50% look pretty decent, Cuba's 44% look quite attractive, and Sri Lanka at 35% looks like it's doing quite well. And this really puts into perspective how serious the situation is in Lebanon right now, because all of the countries on this list that you can see here are going through major economic crises. So the fact that the inflation rate is so far ahead of everybody else in Lebanon really tells us that this situation is entirely critical. Now, going back to what's been happening over the course of the last 12 months, one thing that I wanted to point out about this chart is that it doesn't start at 0%. It actually starts at 120%. And the reason for that is really just to minimize the size of all of the bars. Because if it went down to zero, obviously all of the bars would be a lot taller and it'd be a bit more difficult to be able to evaluate. So you can see that over the last 12 months, inflation has been running above 120% in every single month. And this time last year, inflation was actually running at 206%. And if we expand the chart out to look at the position over the last 5 years, you can see that Lebanon has been experiencing inflation above 100% since the middle of 2020. So this really tells us that the economy is completely out of control. Because if your prices are rising by 100% plus every single year, that means that everything is becoming entirely unaffordable because wages are not increasing at 100% plus. So that just means that people can afford to buy less. And this obviously gives us a very strong indication that there are major problems with the economy and also with the currency. So you may be wondering what the Lebanese Central Bank has been doing about these extremely high rates of inflation. If you've been following the channel, you'll know that the traditional method of dealing with high inflation is to increase interest rates, with the logic being that if you increase interest rates, it makes borrowing more expensive. Therefore, people will think twice about moving house, taking on a loan to buy a car or go on holiday or those sort of things. And generally, a reduction in borrowing will mean that people have less money, therefore they will spend less. That will reduce demand. And simple economics tells you that when demand falls, prices should come back down as well. So in view of the fact that inflation has been above 100% since the middle of 2020, so the last 3 years, let's have a look at what's been happening to interest rates. This chart shows the movement in the official rate of interest in Lebanon over the last 5 years. And you can see that at the start of 2020, prior to the COVID-19 pandemic, the official rate of interest was around 13%. Now, during the first half of 2020, as Lebanon, alongside the rest of the world, went into lockdown and everything started to be shut down, interest rates were cut dramatically and fell to 7.75%. Now, as we've just seen, from the middle of 2020 onwards, inflation went above 100% and actually has gone above 200% on a number of occasions over the last 3 years. So if Lebanon was following the traditional policy, you would have expected interest rates to have been increased to try to calm spending down and bring inflation back under control. But as you can see, over the course of the last 3 years, there has been no movements at all in interest rates. They have remained entirely flat at 7.75%. And that really is quite puzzling, because what it tells us is that the central bank hasn't really done anything to try to address what's been going on with inflation.
Few in Lebanon are able to pay for a full cylinder of gas. It costs $12, and that's too expensive for most people struggling during an economic collapse. The price has more than doubled for those who earn in the local currency, and that's devalued by more than 98%.
I'm buying $4 worth of gas. That is what I'm able to afford today.
Cooking gas has become a luxury for Lebanon's poor. They've turned to outdoor wood stoves. Unemployment is high. 1.5 million Lebanese, that's nearly a third of the population, rely on assistance.
If I want to get bread, I will pay at least 50 times more than in the past of the price. And that's only the bread.
People have been forced to change their diets, and even the fattoush salad is unaffordable for most.
We no longer eat meat and chicken, but we can no longer eat lettuce or tomato. The prices have more than tripled since last Ramadan.
Food and energy prices have soared around the world, but in Lebanon, the financial meltdown is worsening the crisis.
Prices are much higher this year because of the local currency's devalued exchange rate, and we import almost everything in dollars.
The International Monetary Fund says Lebanon's prospects for getting out of its deepening financial crisis is grim if the political class continues to fail to act. And it warns the country is heading for hyperinflation.
Lebanon's 100,000 pounds banknote, it is the biggest banknote. Now, it is almost worth a little less than a dollar. How did it get that bad?
So how did the exchange rate get so bad? Well, this chart shows us the official exchange rate between the Lebanese pound and the US dollar dating back to 2008. So this goes back all the way to the global financial crisis. And you may be looking at this chart and thinking, where is the line? Where's the actual movement? Where's the exchange rates that I'm expecting to see? And I think that's quite a good question, because what we've got here is a flatline situation between 2008 and the end of January 2023. The official exchange rate was 1,507 Lebanese pound to the US dollar. There was no fluctuation whatsoever. So this was an arbitrary rate that had been set by the Lebanese central bank, and it stuck to that one fixed rate for 15 years. However, at the end of January 2023, it decided to devalue the Lebanese pound, and it took it from 1,500 to $1 to 15,000 to $1 overnight. So that represents a devaluation of more than 98% in one day. Now, if you take a step back and look at this chart in the context of what we've just discussed, since 2011, the Lebanese economy has been in severe difficulty since the start of the Syrian civil war. And over the course of the last few years, those problems have got much, much worse. But despite all of that, the Lebanese central bank completely ignored what was happening in the economy and carried on with this official exchange rate. But the people of Lebanon are not stupid. And what happened is that whilst this official exchange rate was going on, the black market exchange rate became the accepted exchange rate that everybody looked to, and a high level of dollarization occurred in the Lebanese economy. If you follow the channel, you'll know that we've talked about dollarization before, and dollarization is explained as a situation where the local residents of a country lose faith in its own currency and decide that they would rather start trading using the US dollar. And the recent devaluation of the currency is a good example as to why people do that. If you're a resident of Lebanon and you've got 1.5 million Lebanese pounds in the bank, That would mean that you are holding the equivalent of $1,000 in your bank account. However, following the recent devaluation, the official exchange rate is now 15,000 Lebanese pound to one US dollar. So that would mean that your 1.5 million Lebanese pounds are now only worth $100. So that's a significant reduction in value. But actually, the reality of the situation is far, far worse, because the black market exchange rate today is trading at around 100,000 Lebanese pound to one US dollar, which would mean that your 1.5 million Lebanese pounds are only worth $15 compared to the $1,000 that you believe that it was worth on the official exchange rate. And those changes in value really give you a good explanation as to why people abandon their home currency and move towards the US dollar, because they want to make sure that their life savings are held in something that will have long-term value. If your currency is reducing in value, even if it's only on the black markets, even if the official rate is telling you one thing, your net worth is at risk of evaporating. If you've been holding all of your savings over the last few years in Lebanese pounds, those savings will be worth a lot less today in the international markets. And that's why in countries like Lebanon, when the economy starts to crash, people move to the US dollar because they want a safe haven. They want to know that what they're holding in cash will be worth roughly the same this time tomorrow or next week or next year. And as you've seen from the statistics we've just looked at, the inflation rates in Lebanon are telling people that their Lebanese pounds are losing value all the time. One of the consequences of the economic crisis, rising inflation and falling exchange rate, is that a lot of people wanted to withdraw their money from the banks in Lebanon.
A series of bank holdups across Lebanon in just a few hours. Depositors armed and demanding their money. They've been locked out of their accounts since the financial crisis began in late 2019. In most cases, they were able to get some of their funds.
Every time I go to the bank, I am humiliated. They give me a little amount of my money as if I'm a beggar. I have money, but I live like a poor man. We can't buy medicine.
We have rights, and this is a revolution by depositors. We'll support any depositor who wants to claim his right. Banks won't be able to work until our trapped savings are released.
Politicians, many of them bankers, have failed to address the financial collapse.
So this is a classic situation where we've got a run on the banks. Everybody immediately wants to withdraw all of their money. And as you'll know, if you've been following the recent postings, banks simply don't have that amount of cash. So if they get a lot of people queuing at the door wanting to withdraw their cash in US dollars, that's going to cause a major problem. So what we saw in Lebanon is that the banks have just closed their doors. They've stopped doing business. They've limited the amount of money that can be withdrawn from people's accounts to a very small level. And this is causing hardship and real frustration. And there have been a lot of stories recently of people actually going to the bank with guns, holding up the teller to get the money out of their own account. So they're basically forcing these people at gunpoint to give them back their own money. Very, very unusual situation. So you may be wondering why the Central Bank of Lebanon decided to devalue the currency so significantly. Well, the main reason that they did it is because they need to agree to certain terms and conditions that the IMF has imposed against the country before it will release any money. In April 2022, the IMF announced that it had reached a staff-level agreement on economic policies with Lebanon for a four-year extended fund facility. This statement said that the Lebanese authorities and the IMF team have reached a staff-level agreement on comprehensive economic policies that could be supported by a 46-month extended fund arrangement with requested access of funds equivalent to around $3 billion US dollars. In terms of the requirements that the IMF was placing onto Lebanon, the statement read, "The authorities recognise the urgent need to initiate a multi-pronged reform programme to tackle the economic challenges, bring back confidence and put the economy back on a sustainable growth path with stronger private sector activity and job creation. In this regard, the plan is based on five key pillars. Restructuring the financial sector to restore banks' viability and their ability to efficiently allocate resources to support the recovery. Implementing fiscal reforms that, coupled with the proposed restructuring of external public debt, will ensure debt sustainability and create space to invest in social spending, reconstruction and infrastructure. Reforming state-owned enterprises, particularly in the energy sector, to provide quality services without draining public resources. Strengthening governance, anti-corruption and anti-money laundering. Combating the financing of terrorism frameworks to enhance transparency and accountability, including by modernising the central bank legal framework and governance and accountability arrangements. And establishing a credible and transparent monetary and exchange rate system. And it's this last point that really led the authorities in Lebanon to devalue the Lebanese pound. And one of the reasons that the Lebanese authorities have done this now is that the IMF still haven't released any money to Lebanon. The IMF visited the capital of Lebanon, Beirut, between the 15th of March and the 23rd of March 2023. And following that visit released this statement. Lebanon is at a dangerous crossroads and without rapid reforms will be mired in a never-ending crisis. Poverty and unemployment will remain high and economic potential will continue to decline. A continuation of the status quo would further undermine trust in the country's institutions and additional delays in implementing reforms will keep the economy depressed with irreversible consequences for the whole country, but especially low to middle income households. High uncertainty will further weaken the external position and the central bank will continue to lose scarce international reserves. Exchange rate depreciation and spiralling inflation will remain unabated, accelerating the already high cash dollarisation of the economy. The informality of the economy will further increase, reducing the scope for taxation and further depressing budgetary spending, while increasing the risk of illicit activities becoming entrenched in the economy. Without acknowledging and credibly addressing the large financial gap in the banking sector, the banks will not be able to provide meaningful credit to support the economy, and small depositors will continue to incur large losses on their FX withdrawals, while medium to large depositors will remain indefinitely locked. Emigration, particularly of skilled workers, would accelerate, undermining future growth prospects even further. There is an alternative path that would lead to stability and growth. The recent IMF mission emphasised the urgency of implementing the following package of comprehensive reforms. A medium-term fiscal strategy to restore debt sustainability and create space for increasing social and development spending. The first step would be to adopt a 2023 budget that uses a unified market exchange rate for customs and tax purposes, adjusts specific taxes to inflation, and makes the first steps towards restoring public administration. The budget should also provide the necessary funding for essential social spending and initiate important public sector reforms, which over time would improve efficiency. In subsequent years, strengthening public finances would require revenue mobilisation reforms focused on broadening the tax base, closing existing loopholes, and improving tax compliance across taxpayers through strengthened and modernised tax administration. The revenue mobilisation effort is critical to support a gradual scale-up of priority social and development spending to more appropriate levels. The overall fiscal strategy should be supported by reforms to eliminate losses and phase out transfers from the budget, particularly to the energy sector, improve public administration and advance sustainable pension system reforms. Gradual fiscal consolidation will be critical to complement the needed debt restructuring that should aim to reduce public debt to a sustainable level over the medium term. Credible restructuring of the financial system to restore its viability and support economic recovery. This requires acknowledging and addressing upfront the large losses incurred by the central bank and commercial banks, respecting the hierarchy of claims, protecting small depositors and limiting the recourse to the public sector given its current unsustainable debt position. Viable banks should be restructured and recapitalised under a time-bound plan and unviable banks should exit the market. The effective implementation of the strategy requires amending the Banking Secrecy Law to address outstanding critical weaknesses, notwithstanding the important improvements from the recent reform. In particular, relevant agencies should have access to data on individuals' transactions and deposits at the client level. In addition, the legal and institutional framework of the central bank and other banking authorities should be modernised to strengthen governance and accountability so that trust in institutions is rebuilt. To increase transparency, the special audit of the central bank should be published. And then specifically dealing with exchange rates, they stated unification of exchange rates and tightening monetary policy to rebuild credibility and improve the external position of the economy. Unification would remove harmful distortions, eliminate rent-seeking opportunities, reduce pressures on the central bank's FX reserves, and pave the way for a market-determined exchange rate. The process should be accompanied by temporary capital controls to help guard the limited FX resources in the financial system, needed to ensure an equitable solution for depositors. To help reduce inflation following unification, tight monetary policy would need to make use of all the available tools, and central bank financing to the government should be strictly prohibited. Foreign exchange interventions will need to be very limited and only for the purpose of addressing disorderly market conditions. And then finally, the IMF stated that ambitious structural reforms to supplement economic policies and create an enabling environment for stronger growth. So the IMF has laid out a vision for Lebanon, a path towards getting back to economic recovery. But the problem that Lebanon is facing is that it has to implement all of these different policies up front before it sees any of the benefit. And when you're talking about changing the exchange rate or increasing taxes, that causes upfront pain for all of the people in the economy who are currently struggling. So sometimes it has to get worse before it gets better. And that's the situation that Lebanon is sitting in right now. And that's what we've just seen in terms of the massive devaluation of the currency, albeit the official exchange rate is still miles away from what the black market rate is showing. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video because 264% inflation is insane. I've said off the scale a number of times in previous videos, but this level of inflation is genuinely off the scale. When you've got prices rising by almost 3 times in a 12-month period, that means that people just simply can't afford to buy those items. Nobody's income is rising anywhere near 3 times, so everything is becoming unaffordable and you've got a complete breakdown in society. And what we've seen from today's video is that the poorest members of society in Lebanon are really struggling. People don't know what to do. They haven't got money for food. They haven't got money for fuel. Electricity and all of the basic supplies are being cut off because the state-run entities don't have any cash to be able to keep the lights on. So this is what a collapse looks like. A lot of people often say to me, you're talking about collapses of economies on a regular basis. What actually happens in a collapse? Because everything just carries on as normal. Well, what's happening in Lebanon, I think, is a great example where you've got the government have been managing things badly for a long period of time. They've run out of money themselves, and now the economy is completely out of control. Now, the IMF have come along and tried to put something into place that will try to rebuild the economy, to bring it back to some level of normality. But I think there comes a tipping point for every country that once you go past, it's virtually impossible to get it back on track. And I think the level of dollarization that we're seeing right now in Lebanon means that it's going to be virtually impossible for the Central Bank of Lebanon to be able to persuade the population to start using the Lebanese pound again. I think we've got to the situation that we're at in El Salvador and a few other countries around the world where everybody feels much more comfortable dealing with US dollars rather than the local currency. But interestingly, as we've seen from today's video, a lot of people have got their life savings in the Lebanese banks in Lebanese pounds. And the Lebanese banks have basically closed their doors. They've stopped giving everybody access to their own money, which fundamentally goes against the principles of banking, because when you give your money to a bank, they're just the custodian of that money. They're looking after it on your behalf. It's always your money. It isn't their money. So banks really aren't in a position to be able to say you can't have it. If they don't have all that capital, then obviously they're bankrupt. And what we saw recently in the USA is when banks got into that situation, the regulator stepped in and took over those banks and protected all of the customer deposits. We're not seeing that in Lebanon because we don't have a strong government. We don't have strong regulators. We haven't got anybody who's really taking charge and looking after all of the people. And that's what's causing the biggest concern. We've seen in today's video people out on the streets demonstrating, people banging on the doors of banks demanding their money back because nobody else is representing them. And that's when you start to get a breakdown in law and order. When people start coming onto the streets demanding things, that's when you've got a very serious situation. So I think the next 3 to 6 months are going to be absolutely critical for Lebanon. It's been in a state of crisis for the last few years, but the recent devaluation of the currency has made things much worse, and inflation is now entirely out of control. And it'll be interesting to see over the course of the next 3 to 6 months how high inflation gets. There is already speculation in the press that we could see hyperinflation. So once inflation goes above 1,000%, that's deemed to be hyperinflation. I don't think we're that far away in terms of Lebanon. It could easily happen at some point in the next 6 months. And basically what that means is the economy is completely bust because nobody's got any confidence or faith in prices, and there will be a mass emigration. But obviously not everybody can leave the country. Some people aren't able to. The older people, the younger people, people who just don't have any money. It's impossible to be able to leave. So a lot of the population won't really have any choice. They'll have to just get on with it. But what we're seeing is a breakdown in public services, a breakdown in cash, a breakdown in cash availability, and massively rising prices. And all of that means that it's going to be a very grim 2023 for the people of Lebanon. So I'll keep you posted on any further news and developments. Hopefully you found today's video useful, informative and thought-provoking, and maybe told you a bit about a country that you weren't familiar with before. If you've liked what I've said, then please give me a thumbs up. Thank you for watching this video all the way through to the end. And here's something to put a smile on your face.